Well, let's see if we can melt more away of that. But let's start with a little prayer before we get in. Lord, I just breathe. We just pause, Lord. We know that you have something to reveal to us, something to teach us. Maybe it's an encouraging word. Maybe it's a convicting word on our hearts, Lord. But we welcome that, and I pray surrender of all my plans and my will and all the preparation for this, Lord, that I would hand this over to you, that you would give me your words that would help. That everyone here would benefit from being together in your presence, that we would love one another and encourage one another and challenge one another, and that the Holy Spirit would be the author of all those things, and he would use us as tools for righteousness instead of tools for discouragement and destruction. So we just pray this, Jesus, in your name, amen. Mm-hmm. The mothership has landed. Hey, grab your Bibles. So what we're doing here is we often take a book of the Bible. We're in the middle of one right now, Colossians, and it's an awesome time. So what we'll do is we'll take a section of scripture, we'll read through it so that we don't skip any word, and then from that, I sure hope that the Lord has put something on my heart to share with you to dig in a little deeper. And inevitably, something in there you might want to talk more about, but that's the awesome thing about the Word of God and it being what they call the living Word. Each time you read it, sometimes the Lord speaks to you in a new way. So I'm just praying that he hits your heart right where you need it today, and that he joins us together in him in unity, and that we don't play church, but that we become his people more and more. And that's why we're here. So grab your Bibles, Colossians 2. This is a letter that Paul wrote. Where have we been so far? I'll show you. Okay, so we'll see if that, I don't think that's going to work, but we will, I'll tell you where we were. We've talked about a few things over the last, I guess, 3 weeks before this week where we've been back. We talked, first of all, going through Colossians, something kind of stepped up about suffering and that there's purpose in suffering. So we spent a little time talking about that. Another thing that we talked about was we talked about the challenges and the striving and the struggles. We also talked about this reality that's happening in this letter, because Paul's writing a letter to a group of believers, right, at Colossae. And some of them are from a Jewish background. Some are from a non-Jewish background. And so if you remember from last week, right, we talked about that God has something for you and that he would choose to, you know, fill you. Okay, no, there's no water this time. That he would fill you. We used the illustration. Brandy was a good support. That God has something through the Lord Jesus, provided through the Holy Spirit for you to receive. And all the amazing and good things come from God. Our challenge sometimes is slowing down long enough to receive all that God has for us. If he is the author, the perfecter, the reason and the way in which we get everything in all life, then why do we keep running to another source? So we've kind of talked about that. So we pick up today. There's your introduction. Verse 6. Are you there? Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore. Uh-oh. There's the therefore word. So we've got to stop. What was he talking about before that? So he's talking about, you know, at first he's been talking a little bit about Jesus and about kind of following him, and that we've received this from Christ. And so we're always going to these other things, and there's other false teachers that are coming in. In the church at Colossae, what they had is there was a lot of corruption in their theology, if you will. There was pagan religions that were present. There was Roman influence. There was a lot of angelic superstition, and that made its way in. And so there was a deception happening within the brothers. And what's fascinating is this still happens. We get bored, right? We get bored with the simply, this is what it is, now here's what I want you to do. We want to complicate it or dress it up and put lipstick and a pretty dress on it. So we get into different mysticism or false beliefs, false teachings. We don't like to hear the hard things. We want our ears tickled. You see that happen? So all that's happening and there's warning against it. And then he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells. Whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I should have said that word as well, okay? For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Okay, there's our scripture for today. You got all that? It's all in there, you understand completely? Okay. Wanted to read through that. There's a lot in there. If you really took the time to dissect all of that, we could be here for months, right? What do we do, Lord, in this? So let me just start from the beginning. Let me pull out some of the scripture here. Verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him,
rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, here's that metaphor again. Walk. It's a metaphor that we see used. So if we've received Christ, we've received, and it's kind of a church where like, I'm in Christ, I received Christ. And so you say it, you repeat it, you have no idea what it means. Fair to say, right? I think we're learning. Each one of us, as we're going, we're learning more what it is to be in Christ, where he's at, in the center of what he's doing. Feeling like he's feeling more and more, thinking like he's thinking more and more, caring about the things that he cares about, hating the things that he hates, right? If we've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. Why walk? What do you think? Why this metaphor walk? I mean, this isn't literal, right? There's not like a hymn you can walk in. It's not like a pool or something that they call Jesus you walk in, or a costume that you wear and walk in. It's a metaphor. Why walk? Why is that important? You tell me. What's that?
Journey.
Yeah.
Action on our part.
It takes action on our part. Great answers. Every day. Yeah. That's great. So she just shared, she's learned over time that you know, you really want to get to know somebody, you want to build a relationship with them, walk with them. You take the time, you have that conversation. And she's made that personal by walking every day. She's made that choice, you know. And when she's walking, she'll talk with the Lord and build in relationships. Is that fair? Is that kind of what you were saying? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what's fascinating, we've been talking a little bit about this with the pace of life and the speed in which we operate and how we've lost something contextually in the Bible that we're reading. Because, you know, we often read it in the gospel and it's miracle to miracle. And we forget that there was a days of journeys between those miracles where these guys simply walked with Jesus. Like, they had the, it's fun to imagine, you know, what inside jokes did they have? You know, what was this guy like? You know, did this guy snore? Did this guy not? Right? These types of things are funny. It doesn't tell you in the scripture, but what did they know about each other? What was John's favorite food? Right? Did somebody laugh and snort when they laughed? Right? These kind of things that you know about the people you love that are completely lost when it's like, and immediately he arose and took up his bed, and then he fed 5,000, and then he raised from the dead. Right? And we're reading that as a record of what happened, but we've missed this day in, day out, where these men and women who walked with Jesus spent 3 years walking with them, and then even when he died, they were still so far from getting it that it was a process every day, right? Journey, walking with God, being intimate. So that's why the metaphor is so strong in the scripture. So the fact that you and I, you know, if we received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. It's that same idea. Quit learning about him. Quit filling your head with information and simply do what it is that God has asked you to do. I love to have a Bible study where we learn history and prophecy and all that, but if I know all about it and absolutely do nothing that Jesus said I should do, then I'm like a man who's looked at the mirror and then turned away and forgotten his face immediately, right? That's what the scripture says. It's like, be doers of the word and not just hearers. So you see that present here. If we've received him, go with it. Go with it. Believe you've received him. Now take him with you where you go. Apply what God has put in you through Christ Jesus, provided through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. And the word captive really means led away. So don't be led away by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So the warning here, you see this, Randy? The warning here is the things that can grab us and lead us away from the path that Jesus has on us. Here's some examples we have to be aware of. The philosophy and empty deceit. Have you noticed at all? Maybe arguments that are made between people in our social media circles or in our regular media circles where there is really no winner. It's simply you just make each other mad by arguing circle and circle and circle and nothing is done. No progress is made. These are empty conversations. This is personal philosophies and traditions and opinions that go nowhere. And you could spend your entire life just arguing. Now use your brain for a minute. Let me ask you. Have you ever observed or been part of a situation where there's an argument that takes place between two people? And it's over, it could be anything, but there's an item or something that happened or something that was said and there's an argument about it, right? And they both start on each side of that argument. As they argue, what happens? What have you observed happen? Yeah, right? But they become more extreme, right? And they become more aggravated, and pretty soon they've lost track of what they were arguing about in the first place, right? It's like Paul, they were trying to kill him. The crowd was trying to kill him, the mob. Ah, kill him! And then he's like, hey, aren't you that guy? He's like, that's not me. Oh, dang, I don't even know why I'm mad now, right? Like, it's gotten so far emotionally that we get into these arguments, debates, philosophies, human traditions. We might call this religion. It's popular for us churches to bag on religion, even though we have our own form of religion. I know, right? And you could even hear that from me. I would define religion this way. Religion is our attempt to get to God. Okay, it's our attempt, well-meaning. What do we do, guys? What do we do in order to be closer with God? And we've, over time, figured out these things. We get together in these buildings, and we include music and sacraments and fellowship, and we read from the Bible. We've done this, We do this many songs because we feel like it helps, and we do this time because it's not so early you're asleep, and it's not so late that you're as hungry, right? All these, our attempts to try to get to God. It's what I do or what we do, as opposed to following Jesus, which is going where he leads. It's about what he does. Well, how is that different, Will? Let me give you an example. This is a powerful, powerful example. Because I came up in a tradition, which they were right to encourage the Bible, right? I have a Bible here in my hand. And they would encourage you to read this Bible. And that for sure is a wonderful thing. But now that I've been in ministry for a while, I've found people who would read the Bible because it was like the thing to do, because it was given to them culturally and it meant nothing to them. Right? Until they began to walk with Jesus and he said, let's get into the word. And then it came alive. And then I met other people who the Lord led them here first, right? And this is where he came alive first. Ultimately, what it is each one of us becomes a beautiful symphony of how we stimulate our mind and our experiences too. You can't separate the two, but religion tells you this is the only way to get to God. And so religion says, read your Bible because. Relationship, Jesus says, I want you to know me. I want you to know the Father. And you need to know what's in here. You should be studying this with such a passion, with such a hunger. But when he tells you and you do it, the end result's the same. You read the Bible, your action, the benefit's far different. I mean, do you give backpacks to homeless people because charity gets God? No, you do this because the scripture said, well, Lord, when did we clothe you when you were naked? When did we feed you when you were starving? And he says, ha, yeah, when you did this to the least of these, you did this for me. And so it's like, that's why I give him a backpack, because instead of not from compulsion, not every time I see a person, I give him a $5 bill, but because the Lord leads you. And so the youth says, this is on our heart to give a backpack. So yes, we're following Jesus in doing this. We're not following religion. So that's a sermon in itself. So we'll keep going. But the human tradition, the elemental spirits of this world, the word actually means kind of primary. And so the thought is, you think of the sun and the earth and the stars. If we were a tribe and we came out here, we began to say, what's this bright light? The warmth feels kind of good. So this is a good, powerful thing, and the next minute it burns us. You're angry, right? The clouds come, the gods are angry, the rain cloud, gods must be crying, the lightning comes, God's wrath. I mean, these would be elemental spirits. Astrology, some of these things could be that. We could get so caught up in that, like, well, this is my sign, so I just have to act this way. We could get involved in that so deeply that we're taken away, we're taken captive off of the path, which is the path with Christ, where we walk with him. Okay, so if what we want to do is follow Jesus, which is what I've signed on for, that's what I want to do. I wish I did it better. I wish I did it better. I wish I didn't go my own way as often as I do. That's just the honest truth. I think I'm doing better than maybe like 5 years ago, though. And maybe 5 years from now, I could still report to you, I think I'm... It's becoming smooth, and I'm doing it more. I'm learning more, and I'm growing, and I hope the same thing for you. But if I'm going to follow Jesus, back to the Bible, right? It's good to know what Jesus was up to in the Bible. This is what Jesus is up to. Here's the last commandment he gave, right, to his disciples. He said, a new commandment. This is John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, why is that so powerful? Do you guys see that we have limited vision and understanding as human beings? Limited sight, limited perspective, limited understanding. The Bible says that his ways are so far above our ways, it's like the heavens and the earth, basically, right? The chasm between us is so great, it's insurmountable. But even in our ways, what we've observed is people that are safe in love respond better. They live better. They relate better. We observed that by just watching each other. Right? This is some of the danger of the attack on the family in our culture, right? When we get into that. Without families, there's not stability, there's not safety. And so what Jesus is like, I'm creating a family here where you love one another just as I have loved you. And because you need my love, you're going to give an equal amount of effort to love the people around you. And in that is going to create safer places, not perfect places, but safer places where you can be loved. And if you would receive my love more and more, you would know that I am the only way, and you wouldn't be pulled away as easy. I'll tie this in. Verse 9, Colossians 2. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head and rule of all authority, or of rule and authority. So Jesus, everything is in him, the whole fullness of deity, the whole fullness of God, and you've been filled in him. Like, his love for you is so great, guys, I don't think we even begin to fathom how awesome his love is for us, how powerful it is, how unstoppable it is. And if we actually got into that a little bit more, if we actually received that a little more, then I think we could fly almost. I think we could weather storms. We could deal with hard times better. We would have more hope for what comes. Because he has a perspective that we don't have. It's like every one of you adults that have been through this. I know what you would say if you were able to talk to a teenager in high school to say, well, high school's not going so well, and so I'm thinking about doing destructive things that will impact my life after that. Every adult would tell you this. They would say, 4 years for high school, 6 years for middle school and high school, that is such a short time. You don't throw away 50 years for that. Like, I got underwear that are 4 years old, right? That's what the adults would tell you. So 4 years, 5 years go so quick that even if literally it's painful and it sucks, you will make it. There's hope. And it's like God saying that, like, 78 years, Will, that's going to go so quick. So quick, 80 years, 90 years, whatever it is, so quick, it's a drop in the bucket of what I have for you. So let the walls fall down. Let the fire come. Let everything fall apart, and it's going to be okay. I don't know if God wears underwear, but he's got underwear older than me, if he does, right? But in him, the whole fullness, right, dwells. Verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Well, that's a lot, right? I mean, you went to sleep when I read that, right? Because you have heard this a lot. And we went through Romans. There'd be a lot of, there'd be 500 sermons on just this section. And so do I stop and do that? Well, something the Lord's teaching me that he's asked me to share with you is this is all really true and important, and we can dig deeper. Maybe we will. Maybe God will say, come back and hit some of this. But I want to share this with you. I'm learning this, that believing is the most important thing. I'm going to use, this is my words, okay? Believing is the most important thing you can do. Your whole life is really, more than anything, about your struggle to believe. Why do you say that, Will? Because what Paul keeps saying in this letter, and I had to take this time to say it, because what Paul keeps saying is Jesus is awesome, he's everything, and he's all you need. And we say that with our words, but our life would demonstrate otherwise. It would say we need Jesus and a list of a million other things. And so if Jesus did all these things, I mean, Rick, if he forgave me of all my sins, man, if he wiped them all clean, if he, it says like he, right, my sins, he remembered them no more. And it wasn't like because he was passive, he paid for them. He paid for them. Agony, I mean, we forget that he died on a cross and his was so bad that he died before the other two guys. They believe, I mean, some people believe his heart exploded. That's what he took. Every one of my shortcomings, every time I fell short of this, loving God with everything I have and loving my neighbor as myself, every time I fell short of that, it doesn't have to be, you know, those sins, right? The particular ones that we want to point out, right? Anything other than loving God with everything I got. Every time I've done that, every time I will do that from this day forward, Jesus paid for that. I mean, this is great truth. But if I really don't believe it, if it doesn't hit home for me, then so what? And that's why it's like, because you're suffering, don't stop believing. That's why I want to talk about suffering. And if you're struggling, don't stop believing. If you're busy, just try to slow down, because I know the busyness, the stillness, the struggle is not only physical, but it's mental. Sometimes we simply have to dial down our mind, dial down our soul, dial down our spirit, just calm down so that we can hear clearly. And because believing is probably the thing you're going to battle with more than anything, you have to understand this. I believe that believing is a dance between your mind and your heart. And where we fail, and every time I get up here, I fail to give you a complete picture. I'm aware of that. We don't have the time and I don't have the expertise to give you, to explore the full depth or height or greatness of our God. I'm giving you a piece to remind you and to encourage you, and I hope that the Holy Spirit takes that seed and grows a huge tree out of it, right, that bears so much fruit. But here's what I know. I can't divorce my mind and my heart when it comes to believing. Because wherever your mind believes, that's where you will go. Pick any sin. You're afraid chronically. Why? Because you believe there's something to be afraid about. You escape pain in your life through drugs, alcohol, or sexual abuse. It's because you believe those things will help you and make you feel better, if only temporarily. One, and two, you believe there's probably not a better way for you. If we begin to believe that we have a powerful God that loves us and has broken us free so we can make better choices, then we become free to make better choices. Believing is a dance between your mind and your heart. So this was illustrated, okay. This here, I don't know if anyone else said this, probably smarter than me, it just came to me, and so I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget to tell this to you, because it's important with what I'm supposed to tell you today. But it's not just us. Believing can be a challenge. Jesus in John 6, he was going through this whole talk. He was talking about the manna. Remember the Israelites when they're walking through the wilderness and God brought manna down each day to feed them this bread. And he was talking about that. He was talking about his body being the bread and that, you know, anyone who would eat of the bread. So he made this metaphor like they were provided this bread from heaven by God. But even when they ate it, they still all died. He says, but I've got a bread for you that if you eat, right, that you would never die. Oh yeah, what is it? Jesus, it's me. I'm the bread sent from heaven that if you eat from it, whoa, this guy has lost it, Randy, right? Like the belief has just gone bloop. And it says that some of the people who were following him stopped following him. See, then our religious hat's like, well, did they get saved or not? No, that's not what we're talking about here. They stopped following him because they stopped believing. There was a shift in what they believed was true, and they acted accordingly. And then so he asked the 12, right? He asked the 12, and I love that Peter's the one. Because if you study these scriptures, guys, Peter's awesome. One thing we love about Peter is he always just says it. He says what he thinks. And so if you're not one of those people, you kind of vicariously think, yeah, Peter. And then if you are one of those people, you're like, okay, good, I'm not alone. And then all of us, we love to point fingers at him and feel better about ourselves because he says these things. But he's like, so what about you guys? Aren't you going to take off too? Crazy man, eat me, I'm the bread. And then Peter said to him, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Let me add a little bit more to clarify it. And the New Will Translation, okay, if I was just trying to tell you what I think this is saying, this is just me, so take it or leave it. I think Peter's saying, like, where would we go? Like, God, we tried life, Lord, without you. We tried life without you. Where else would we go? Because with you is the only life. Gosh, that's where Christians should be. That's where all of you are when I see your faces and I look at my face in the mirror. It's like you're in that process of getting so sick of everything else that all you want is Jesus. Right? That's what it is. Everyone's in process at a different time. And until you really change your belief, you won't change your behavior. And so those of us who love you and are around you will pray for you and encourage you, but your mind must be changed so your behavior will be changed. And so that's why me telling you that Jesus, you know, did these things to eradicate your sins is awesome and powerful and true, but I want you to engage your heart and your mind because believing is a dance between the two. Sometimes the mind has to step forward, right? And your feelings and emotions and heart have to step back. And sometimes the mind has to step back because your feelings and emotions need to engage. And the challenge is which foot do I step with next, right? Do I do my back step, my front step? And it's why we have God 100% with us, which is the Holy Spirit, right, that leads. Okay, Spirit, lead. Mind back, heart forward, right? Heart back, mind forward. And this is all our days. So the Bible stated this right here. God made you alive together with Christ. So let's ask a question. Do you feel that you've been made alive? I mean, do you guys see the Christian, the way that Jesus was saying is like, this is how everyone's going to know that you're mine. You guys love each other. Like, we create a community of loving each other, of building one another up, you know, challenging each other, caring about one another. And then the whole world will see that and they'll want to be part of it. And they did. And they couldn't help but tell the people that were around them. And instead, now we live in a culture where our scripture says we've been made alive and that we've been blessed, but we look dead. We look tired. We look sour. And so maybe your heart right now is just like, I don't feel alive. Maybe if I asked you questions like, what do you love? You'd be like, my kids, my wife. Maybe you'd say that. No. What are you passionate about? What gets you excited, you know? Pastor Rick had asked Brandy and I from Kauai, he asked us about this. He goes, man, what when you get to go to bed at night and you pull the covers up, what are you excited about that you get to do? And talk about convicting to be like, it's like a Mack truck hit you, that kind of question. Right? You're like, well, I don't know. Questions I've read by an author that I like in a book, he asked this question like, when's the last time you felt carefree or lighthearted? No, well, it's the stoicism of our faith. We're convicted of our sins, and so we're downtrodden. No, Paul keeps saying Jesus is everything. He's the fullness of everything. He's the provider of everything. He's the source of everything. Like, you can't even believe in him without him helping you to believe, right? You can't have faith without him giving you faith. You don't even breathe without him allowing you to do that. I leave today to go to memorial for a girl in her young 20s. You're not guaranteed 78 years, okay? If you're breathing, that's God. Like, he is everything, so why wouldn't you just be a little more euphoric about that, or a little bit more excited, or a little more alive? And then the people who came in would be like, wow, I really want to be alive. So sometimes our heart might be like, do you feel made alive? Honestly, no. I feel like I'm just dying. Okay, so then you've got to ask the mind to step forward. Are you going to choose to believe that you've been made alive? So write those questions down. Because I love, and this would be, nothing would please me more than for you to spend a little time asking God about some of this. Because see, you're not alive and not full of joy in spite of trouble. No. It's not like when you're in trouble or when you're unhappy or when things are going bad, right? That joy is impossible, and it's only possible to you when things are going well, right? That's true. So sometimes you have joy. Sometimes you're even happy even when there's sadness around you. So what a Christian is unmoved, right? That's what it was saying, like, take what you've been given in Christ and use it as this foundation to build you up, because a Christian, people will look at and be like, you're not losing your mind. You didn't throw a brick through the dollar store, right? Like, raiding people, like, you were just at home, like, whatever. You didn't lose your mind when everyone else did. You aren't swayed back and forth by the wind or like the waves. Like, there's something different about you, Will, and I'm going crazy and you seem to be alive. But I know your life. I know that it's not perfect. But somehow, in spite of that, there's still something in you, and then people want that. Then people want to know. And so at some point, guys, the Holy Spirit doesn't just make your choices for you. He leads you, and you have to make your choices. So sometimes in that dance, we got to say, today, all of us just need to say, you know what? You said that you made me alive, and no matter how hard it is for me to feel that and accept it right now, I choose to believe that. And when I walk out of here today, I'm going to tell myself that I've been made alive in Christ. I've been made alive. Well, what? I don't know, Will. Okay, well, let me engage your intellect, your mind here for a second, okay? What did Jesus do to make us alive? Well, how did he get that? Well, first of all, he forgave us of all of our trespasses. So important. If we don't come to grips about our sin and the weight of that, then there's nothing to be saved from. And that's what we have in the people like me who grew up in the preschool and nursery, right? You just always thought you had Jesus. You forgot until life gave you some circumstances, whether the Lord caused those or allowed those. I don't know, but some of us have to go through our own tragedy in order to get to the reality that we needed a Savior, because we always just thought we were good. And so Jesus saved me? Yeah, whatever, that's just Tuesday. Instead of, wow, now I've got something to grab onto. Like, when I hear that I've trespassed, I've fallen short of what God had for me. Yes, guys, I have those things now that I can grab onto. And I know that I've fallen short. But we don't like to do that because we think, because of our religion, that we stay there. I'm trash. Maddie, I'm just trash all the time. It's like, no. Even though I've fallen short, Jesus loves me. He forgave me my trespasses. Like, he canceled the record of debt that stood against you. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, right? These are the spiritual beings who wanted to come collect on that bounty. These are the ones, what's happened is simply, there's this, okay, you've sinned, and the payment for sin is death. And Jesus is like, okay, I'll pay it. So now all foul spirits, all authorities, all rulers in foul places, they don't have a claim anymore. You're not theirs. They can't collect because this has been paid by Jesus. Yes. This is good news. And he's given us the ability to put off the flesh. We put off the old ways. We put off the desires that aren't of God. It's still a choice. And then what happens is if we get the reality of that sin, then we come to this reality that he did that for me. He did that for you. He made me alive. He made me alive. He made you alive. You think that's good? Right? And anyone else just feel a little lately and you just need a little life? Yeah, right? The coffee doesn't do it. You can binge watch Netflix, it just is not doing it. There's a tiredness, an exhaustion, a soul weary, and sometimes we have to remember, and sometimes we gotta let our mind make that choice. I believe. Relationships that you have with other people, they're messy because the other people are involved and you can't control and you can't choose. But do you believe that God can do it? Yeah. And your health things, man, right now it can seem bleak, but do you believe that God is for your good, like your ultimate good? And man, it'd be foolish for me to say that you live. People will die, and die is not bad when you're with God. And businesses and finances, those can go down. And guess what? People get bankruptcies and then they live afterwards, right? Like, it's not, Jesus can overcome everything. And so all these things that are tearing us down, like, we can live through them. I mean, it's not YOLO, it's YOLT. You only live twice, right? Because we're Christians. You die once and then you live forever. You only live twice. So even if this life is going to leave you short of what you expected and what you wanted, even if this life is going to leave you disappointed, I promise you the next one won't if you're in Christ. Right? YOLT, let's make a shirt. What do you think, Randy? YOLT, you only live twice, man. Okay.
It just changed everything. Every day, there's a purpose.
See? Yeah, he just said this. When Christ came into his life, there was a purpose now. Every day, there was a purpose. There was a reason. That's something to be excited about. Okay, here's something you need to grab onto. And then we'll close in prayer. It's one of the last things he said in that little section. This is from verse 14. And he said it like this. This is an ESV version. He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Who's he?
Jesus.
Good job. Good. Okay, we're on the same page. So Jesus, he set this aside. He nailed it to the cross. I read it a bunch, and it didn't even hit me until I was reading over it again this morning, and I added it. Like, all of that. Whatever the weight is on your heart, whatever the conviction is on your heart that you've done or haven't done, all the things about the past that are still haunting you, that you have not chosen to believe that you can be forgiven and released of those things, like all of those things, he's literally said, in the face of all of our enemies, in the face of your own self-doubt, in the face of religion, he's gone up and he's taken that and he's saying, you know, Will did this, and you keep bringing it up. Will, you keep bringing it up. The people around you keep bringing it up. All the forces of evil and darkness keep bringing it up. And he's just, boom, nailed it to the cross. And he says, yeah, it happened, but it's done now. It's paid for. Like, that's why I did that, right? So you can, yeah, right? That's woo-woo right there, right? I wish I could scream louder, But that is cool. That's what you right now should be asking God about. Lord, you know, I want to believe that I've been made alive. And if my heart can't receive it now, let my mind take the lead and my heart catch up. And if I want to focus on that, if the one thing that's making you feel down and not alive is the thing that's happened to you or the thing that you've done, There's provision for that. Jesus, in the face of you, in the face of all your enemies, is like, you can be forgiven of this. It can be nailed on the cross. And then once you get the reality of that sin and the good news you've been saved from it, then, I mean, you can't help but what? Worship and rejoice. So also, let me just say this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, see, because all these things, these are promises and truths for those people that belong to Jesus. But if you have run from him and or you've doubted or you're on the fence or you're not sure, this is something to really pray about. You could talk to me, talk to Randy. Like, let's talk about that. Talk about where the hang-up is. Or maybe this day you're ready just to be like, I'm done with this, and I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these people, Lord, the friends, new friends and friends I've had for a while, Lord, and family and loved ones, Lord, and we are your family and your body, Lord. I pray that you would heal our land and take this disease out of here. Lord, I pray that you would heal the disunity in our land, Lord, and that we could then make moves towards unity. We could be gathering together more and loving one another like you've asked us to. And so, Lord, I just pray for this dance that happens between our heart and our mind when we try to believe. Lord, and there's so many truths in the scripture, and then we want to talk about the facts of them, but we don't pause to see if we actually believe that they're true. And so, Lord, we meditate on this idea, this truth that we've been made alive in you, Lord Jesus. We've been made alive. So many implications. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would catch our hearts up, the center of us, the core of us, the inner man and woman in us, up to the truth that we are alive in you, that we can have forgiveness of sins and redemption from shortcoming and salvation from a dead life to a new life. Lord, make us new. Make us alive. Lead us in your ways. Fill us with your love and your power and your peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.